Warning, your regularly scheduled podcast.
Welcome to Dumb and Busted, true crime stories of insane stupidity and exceptional genius. I'm Allison Copeland.
I'm Hannah Ether.
Welcome to episode 31. Let me ask you something, Hannah. Do you think it's possible to put so much fangirl energy into something that you can actually wish it into existence? Until yes. Today, yes, yes. I would have scoffed at that, but today has made me a believer because today...
Wait, this isn't about me, is it? Oh, Jesus, I'm so sorry.
Hang in there. We have wished this guest right into our studio. Hannah and I have been fangirling over his comedy for a few years now, and his name has been sitting on our list of dream guests since we started this show. True story. He's a stand-up comedian and writer. He was crowned Portland's funniest person of 2018. He's made several appearances on the IFC show Portlandia, and he's even had an ice cream flavor named after him. He's Alex Falcon. Dun, 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 dun.
You didn't wish this into existence. You emailed me into existence. This is a very normal way of making things happen.
I would call that the secret.
If the secret book, that's what that book was missing, was just email people.
Exactly.
Just try it.
I'll lead him email the lottery next.
Yeah. Hey, that's overly generous, that opening, that intro. That's too much.
But it's a true story because we've seen your stand up for a while. And so there you are, straight to the top of the list.
Aww.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's very
it's
kind.
Very exciting.
I didn't think about you before this.
You didn't have any idea we existed at all.
Yeah.
So, God, but that is
a very
the glory of fame.
Uneven relationship. Even though I am the guest, I feel like I'm lording above you right now.
Very.
That's what
cool.
happens when you give me too glowing of an opening.
We're trying to make this as weird as possible right off the bat.
This is very awkward.
You started that way with the building that I walked up to and was sure was for murders.
You know, you're the... Yeah,
everybody?
There's no guest that hasn't said that.
I probably shouldn't say this, but every time I go to a podcast, I feel like I'm going to get murdered because I do so little research ahead of time. Where I'm like, yeah, sure, I'll go to your thing.
They're going
to
kill me.
I'm not busy on Monday. And then every time I'm like, why am I walking to this stranger's basement? I've never met this person. I drove to the coast. What is happening right now? I'm definitely going to die. So if I die, it'll almost certainly be at a podcast.
That's true. And the good thing, though, is that I would say we're... A step above a basement.
You are, no, it's actually a great studio, except the outside.
Even with the ground, at least.
Yes, we are on ground level. The inside is full of costumes and drum kits and all kinds of fun stuff and sketchy snacks. The
sketchy
outside
snacks.
Looks like murder. And the only thing is a spray paint stencil of four letters that I don't know what they mean still.
Could be, will you get murdered?
Yeah, it could be anything. It could, it's barely, like at this point, if I had to like tweet somehow to get people to come save me, I would not be able to give information. I'd be like, it's way further south than you think the city goes. That's about all I could contribute.
That's why we make sure you don't have service.
That's why he wanted the Wi-Fi real bad.
I just got to tweet something so everyone knows where I am.
Yeah. Can't do it?
Yeah.
Cannot do it.
Share location.
Dropping those
not
pins.
Shareable. You're like, fuck.
I feel terrible now that everybody else has mentioned that. I feel like I should have come up with something more original. Do you have Halloween plans already?
No.
What are you going to do? Hannah, do you have plans? What are you going to dress? You know, you haven't picked that. This is coming up.
We'll just celebrate Halloween here.
You have like... two shopping weeks left until Halloween.
Well, we have
it on this.
We celebrate by having a true crime podcast, which is every week of the year.
Super spooky.
Yeah.
But you need a costume. You need a true crime related costume.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you though, my son, who is 1 year old, he randomly is obsessed with leaf blowers. So
are you going to dress him as a leaf blower?
So I'm going to tell everyone else that he's a Ghostbuster, but I'll tell him it's a leaf blower.
This is a good
really
trick.
Smart.
Yeah. And he does it in a way that it's not, he'll go and walk around and leaf blow everything, but then he'll also be looking around at, he'll look around at other stuff while he's doing it, like you would if it was your job, where you're like, I wonder what's happening over there today.
Your 1 year old is a suburban dad already, somehow.
It's amazing.
It's amazing. You also don't have to dress up. I didn't know you had a kid. You you're off duty.
Thank you.
You can dress him up. You don't have to do it yourself.
Right. Yeah. Yard maintenance guy. Yeah. / Ghostbuster.
Isn't it funny how kids are so interested in jobs that later they would be like repulsed by? Like,
yeah.
Like my nephew loves garbage trucks and will like garbage men are his heroes. And I'm sure in like 2 years he'll be like, oh no.
Sick.
That's not for me. I'm going to be a doctor. Yeah.
Yep. Don't do it.
Uh-huh. That's true.
Although shout out to all the people who are garbage men.
Yeah, if you're a garbage man, you're great.
Good for you. Saying,
but like, it's just weird that people aspire to your job for like 3 years and then they stop.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true.
You did it for the great benefits, probably, not because you love garbage. It's not like...
Or blowing leaves.
Yeah, there are not a lot of lawn maintenance people in it for the love of the game. That is a job.
Big leaf lobby.
Yeah.
The unions. Hannah, why don't you kick us off?
So I thought we'd start with some funny 911 call transcripts.
Oh, jeez.
Okay. Dispatcher, 911 fire or emergency? Caller, fire, I guess.
I guess.
Dispatcher, how can I help you, sir? Caller, I was wondering, does the fire department put snow chains on their trucks? Dispatcher, yes, sir. Do you have an emergency? Caller, well, I've spent the last 4 hours trying to put these chains on my tires, and, well, do you think the fire department could come over and help me?
I love how he's like, fire, I guess.
Yeah. That was a pretty smart answer.
Dispatcher, help you what? Caller, help me get these chains on my car. So this would just be the majority of residents in Portland because we get snow and ice for like 3 days.
Right.
And that's it.
I did a show for a group of 9/11 operators not too long ago, and I was chatting with them. And it turns out they're all very jaded because the percentage of calls that are like this is very high. It is a lot of...
I believe it.
Yeah.
I can't find my cell phone, but you're calling me on it.
Yeah. I mean, have you guys ever called 911?
All the time.
Yes.
Really?
I call all the time.
Do you actually?
Yes.
What was the last thing you called 911 for? Are you the problem?
Oh, man.
Oh, was it real? Okay.
It was real. It was... Oh, boy. I don't know. Okay, so it was someone escaping sex trafficking.
Yep.
Yeah.
No laughs there.
Wait... But
all right,
were...
funny man.
What you got?
Touche. What did you... Wait, what do you mean?
Yeah, it's true. I mean, I don't know if I'm allowed to really like elaborate because I think the case is probably still going on.
So you saved a life. That's what you called 911 for.
So there you go.
Wow. The true 911 call.
But they can't all be that good. If you say
every
a lot,
time I call,
unless you work in an industry outside of podcasting that is mostly people who are being sex trafficked, I do not believe they could all be important calls.
Yeah, the one before that was children escaping a factory of slave labor.
No, it wasn't.
It wasn't. You got me. They were all just filing out.
A bunch of some. If you've done more than 3 911 calls in your life, at least one of them was like, "Oh, someone left a bottle on my lawn." Like, there's no way you have that many exciting things happen to you.
Actually,
you think
Allison's whole life is like one big adventure? Honestly,
so. Wow.
Well, also, I'm a nurse, so I feel like somehow these things like jump out at me. Maybe where I'm like, someone should call on that.
You attract it.
Yeah,
totally. You're a magnet to it.
How about you, hotshot? When's the last time you called 911?
We saw a fire by the side of the freeway, and my wife wanted to call, and I was like, they probably know. And she called, and the lady was like, we already know, and then hung up on her. They were super mean about it.
We're busy.
Yeah, they'd got, I don't know, you get like 5 calls, because by the freeway, everybody sees it.
Right.
I'm generally against calling 911, because I know they're very busy. So I would probably let a fire go too long before I'd be like, fine, we should get them involved.
Yeah. Something's already burned completely down.
The garage is gone. Let's call them. I don't like to
should
bother
someone
people.
Call?
Or... Yeah.
Yeah. But that's the problem, right? Is that everybody thinks that.
I don't think that's the problem. The problem is that everybody thinks they're a hero, and so they call. Yeah. There's more... There's probably not a lot of things that nobody
calls
on.
There's too many heroes in a world with too many heroes.
Yeah, that's what it is. Everybody needs to chill out, let the firefighters figure out the fires on their own.
In a world where no one gives a shit.
I was right in this case, though.
Okay. Yes.
The side of the road was on fire, and that's they true. Already knew.
Well, tell your wife to stop being such an alarmist.
I did.
Did that go well?
No, it was not great.
It was another 911 call.
It
after
was
that.
Exciting because I had not seen what a cell phone does when you call 911, but it like turns all red and it's like something intense is happening.
So yeah.
Clearly you have not.
No. Not with like not recently.
Oh.
Not while it's going all crazy colors and everything.
Yeah.
So
I hope you don't have to.
Yeah. I was also at a party where somebody called for a sick cat and they were like, "We don't give a shit about your cat. Uh-huh. Call somebody else."
Uh-huh.
Right.
I think if you're not a nurse, you don't see a lot of 911 calls. You make a lot of bad calls.
Yeah. True. I bet those dispatchers are definitely jaded though.
They're the most jaded. Oh yeah. God, it's awful. Nope, bad story. Nope, take it back.
All right. Edit that one out.
See, my brain just automatically was like, here's a related story, and then I realized it's probably not mine. Okay. just a brief.
So my
now
mom
I've
had this
you.
Vagina surgery.
No. I have a friend who worked for a mental health crisis hotline, uh-huh. and even there, she was like 80% of them are like just not real calls. There are people who are like a lot. Apparently, there's a significant number of people who call to jerk off to your voice if you work at mental health crisis, and because they're like you are not allowed to hang up. So there's just creeps all over the place.
Well.
And so she got very good at identifying when it sounded like that was happening and hanging up on people.
Oh, man. When you're...
See? Bad story. Really messed up on starting that one, but then I had teased you too much, and I did not want to feel like a party foul, so I told the story.
I'm actually glad that we heard it.
Yeah.
Now you have that to think about all the time.
When you're held hostage in one of those situations where you have to be of service to the person that's a patient, you know, then...
Yeah.
Or client or whatever they call it. Like... One time I had this patient, he was, you know, old and had dementia or whatever, but I had to, like, of course, bathe him and stuff, but then he goes, "Why don't you get down there and give it a little kiss?" I was like,
"Oh, yeah." Remember that.
And you can't be like, "Well, goodbye."
Yeah, it seems like you should be, I mean, legally, you should be able to say, like, your stay here is done, and then you pull, like, a lever, and the bed starts rolling, and it just rolls straight out the door.
Like a Murphy bed into the wall.
Exactly. Window. You should be gone. That feels like you don't get hospitaled anymore.
Right. You just go into the floor.
It's gross.
So gross. Anyways, next.
Okay. Call number two.
Yeah.
Dispatcher, 911, what's your emergency? Caller, I'm trying to reach 911, but my phone doesn't have an 11 on it.
Ooh, good joke.
Uh-huh. Dispatcher, this is 911. Caller, I thought you just said it was 911.
Oh, God.
Dispatcher,
give
yes.
up on the joke. It's not doing well.
A real gotcha moment.
Bail.
Dispatcher, yes, ma'am. 911 and 911 are the same thing. Caller, honey, I may be old, but I'm not stupid.
Not getting anything past that, broad.
Wow.
Okay.
That one feels like intentionally a joke, which feels like also you should just lose your phone privileges.
Yeah.
Like a Seymour Butts moment.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. Like, but you sure do that to somebody at a store or a restaurant. You call 911 with that.
Uh-huh.
Your phone doesn't work anymore.
Nope. All right, last one. Dispatcher, 911. Caller, yeah, I'm having trouble breathing. I'm all out of breath. Damn, I think I'm going to pass out. Dispatcher, sir, where are you calling from? Caller, I'm at a payphone, North and Foster. Dispatcher, sir, an ambulance is on the way. Are you asthmatic? Caller, no. Dispatcher, what were you doing before you started having trouble breathing? Caller, running from the police.
That sounds too good to be real. That sounds like a lie. You made that one up.
You know what? If you, I mean, just a few weeks on this podcast and you'll believe anything.
Yeah, that's how she got you. She tricked you into this and now she's making
very
up all
persuasive.
These stories.
Nothing's real anymore.
Hannah, is what he's saying true?
I like disappear into a mist. Hannah?
You take off your elaborate costume from outside and disappear. Yep. She's just a pair of glasses and a mustache now.
Was anything we had That's real? Right. Okay, so we're going to move on to our genius segment. So our genius for this week is Anthony Gignac. He was born in Bogota, Colombia in 1970. Jose Enrique Moreno.
Good research.
Jose Enrique Moreno was born to two unknown people and became one of Colombia's 13,000 throwaway children, children who usually ended up running drugs for the cartels. So by age five, he was responsible not only for himself, but also his three-year-old brother, and he did whatever he had to do in order to keep them fed. He led an impossibly difficult life for 2 years on the streets until a couple from Michigan, Jim Geniac and Nancy Fitzgerald, adopted Jose and his brother. The couple renamed Jose Anthony Geniac, and he quickly made a name for himself by telling elaborate lies throughout the school, which who hasn't done that?
That's pretty fun.
What were some lies you told your classmates?
Wait, how old was he?
At that time, first grade.
Oh, first grade.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I don't remember lying as much in first grade.
That's okay. Give us anything.
Well, I do. Well, in high school, I was really I learned how to run gambling scams, and I taught Ooh. Kids how to play three-card Monty, and I cheated at poker
gambling
with them. It was
scams.
Great.
Oh my
that
god!
That was my. I was a real, real piece of shit in high school. That was what I liked to do.
I mean, piece of shit or prepared for life.
It was, since high school, I've never, ever played three-card Monty for money. So it hasn't really come in handy.
I'm but quitting this shit and going into comedy, leaving it all behind.
When I was in first grade, there were a bunch of older kids who told us there was an elevator that we just weren't allowed to use, which is like a classic third grade lie to tell first graders. Like, right. Oh, there's a secret elevator in the building. But I don't have that. Did you lie to kids when you were a kid?
Well, I told a lot of people that I was Greek.
What? That's so weird.
Yeah.
Did you live in a world where that was cool?
Yes.
Oh.
So I was, I was in, raised in the Greek Orthodox Church for, since I was 12.
This is not
or
even
whatever.
A great lie.
No, well, it was very cool to be Greek there. I mean, if there's anybody who's high on being what they are, it's Greeks. The whole My Big Fat Greek Wedding thing.
Yeah,
just right in the front yard, just flying the flag. Very into being Greek. And so if you're not a Greek person in the Greek community, it's oh, okay. Kind of shuffle the circle in closer and you're on the outside, guys, I'm right here.
Huh.
Yeah. So then
so
I was
you pretended
like,
to be Greek thought. So you could be cool in your Greek church.
Yes. Exactly.
That's pretty good.
That's literally, that pretty much sums up the nerdiness. When I would sneak out from school, skip school with my friend, we would go to Omnimax to see a movie.
Wow.
So that's my level of coolness.
Very impressive. In high school, I ditched class to go play pool. With the pool hustlers.
That's very cool.
That's what I was into.
But you were a gambling guy too.
Yeah,
so
this was my favorite thing.
They pass you cigarettes. You're like, ew, I don't smoke.
Yeah, no, come on. Let's play for money.
In high school.
During the day is when all the pool hustlers just hang out and play each other. Uh-huh. And then they're when somebody comes in, they're they don't know. They're ooh, this is the guy I'm going to get. And so if you come in there and start hanging out when you're young, they assume you're non-threatening and they teach you things. So that's great.
Ooh. Pro tip for all you young listeners.
You just slide in there, man. They love
just
it.
Being a good influence.
Imagine if you're you're kind of a shyster, and then this 16-year-old kid, nerdy kid is I want to learn what you're doing. Right. What a fun day for you.
Oh, man. Yeah, that's a blast.
That was a good time.
All right, kid, get on in here.
Yeah. Here's how you, that's great.
Nice. All right.
I feel like that was a great story.
It's okay.
I did a bad job. I liked her segment better.
Do better next time.
I did better during Hannah's segment. No, I didn't. I had that other creepy thing about. Oh man! All right.
You know what? Chin up. We're gonna plot on.
Plenty of time.
Yeah, we'll recover the show. I'm sure.
We'll pull it out
I'll
of this rut.
Yeah, yeah.
So the running theme of all his lies was basically that he was rich and powerful because his family was rich and powerful. For example, in sixth grade, his mom got a call saying her Mercedes was ready. She was thoroughly confused until she figured out that Tony told the Mercedes salesman that he was a Saudi prince whose dad was going to buy him a car. Mm. The salesman gave him test drives and he picked him up from the mall and test drove him around in a bunch of cars and then ordered the car. So the incident resulted in the sheriff coming over to the Geniac home. He was sent to therapy and a special camp. Sure. Yep. But Tony's lies just became more frequent.
Like a lying camp? What's the special camp? Where do you send
it kids? Like a therapy camp, I guess.
For kids who are really good at getting cars?
Yes.
What a weird
very
camp.
Specific. He just lied more at the camp.
Yeah, that's what happens. He just meets other liars. Yeah, exactly.
Right. You bounce ideas off of each other.
Exactly.
It's like prison. Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that what you just said?
What?
Just like prison?
Yeah.
No.
No.
We were talking about prison, I think. We were insinuating prison, yeah.
Mm-hmm. When his parents split and his brother went to live with his dad, he suffered a full-on mental breakdown that landed him in two different psych hospitals in a halfway house as a ward of the state. Mm. So things were not looking good. But it keeps getting worse.
Is this the sad segment
so,
of the show?
It starts out sad, but then turns weird and kind of zany.
Okay, good.
Tony was dead set on never being a street kid again, so he used the skills he'd been honing for years in order to
his lying camp?
Yeah, to dupe a lot of people, many of whom were extremely reputable and not easily fooled, into providing him with the life of wealth and power he'd always desired. It started with an Arab family in Ypsilanti, Michigan, who he convinced to take him in by telling him that he was a prince whose father would send secret police after them if he refused, or if they refused. Mm. Yeah, which is scary. I mean, we don't really live in a world where, like, that happens all the time, but if that's possible,
yeah,
and that's in your mind that that could happen, why not?
I wasn't listening to what you just said, because I was thinking, it had just occurred to me.
This is the content we're looking for.
It just occurred to me that this was going to be a story about a con man. I was really excited, because I told my, like, con man story earlier. I was just, like, proud of myself.
Yeah.
That's all. And so then you said a thing about secret police, and I was like, oh, I should be paying attention.
Right, Alex?
He's not ready for that. Yep. But I'm excited that it's a con man story, because I really like con man stories.
It's
my favorite type of crime.
Mage con man. So here we go. At 17.
Like a D&D thing?
He not M-A-G-E, like M-A-J, like long A. Mm. Mage, very V.
Oh.
Yeah.
Like short for major. Mm-hmm. I see.
Here we go.
All right. Now that we're all caught up. So at age 17, he was busted for pretending to be Prince Adnan Khashoggi, who at the time was the richest man in the world / a notorious Saudi arms dealer.
Okay.
Every kid's dream. So 2 months later, he defrauded a limo company in LA out of almost $9,000. Next, he said he had a sexual relationship with a Saudi prince, and because homosexuality is illegal in Saudi Arabia, the royal family had to pay him hush money his whole life in order to keep things private.
Whoa. But he did he?
That's what he said.
Oh, but so since this is a story about him lying, that's probably not true. But if it did, I would like him even more if he'd like actually slept with the prince.
Right.
That'd be great. No, getting the hush money is okay, but doing the prince, good for you, man.
Yeah. Aim high.
Get in there.
Right.
No, I shouldn't say it that way. I meant the castle, not in the prince, but I also, I'll take it.
Poignant.
I accept it.
By age 21, he was coming as a, conning as a full-time job.
That worked out nicely.
I mean,
handwriting.
Sort of. With that prince.
We could say that.
He wasn't not.
Yeah. He did the prince one time, maybe. Got paid for it.
Would you consider that as
coming
a full-time
for a
job?
Yeah, I think you said for a living. Did you say a full-time job?
I'd say it has really flexible hours.
Yes, it certainly does.
Oh, boy. Okay. So he used the name of an actual Saudi prince, Khalid bin al-Saud, and he set about ripping people off left and right. Mm. In 1991, he left the Beverly Wilshire Hotel with a $4,000 bill and a limo company in L.A. with an $8,000 bill.
He spent more on limos than on the hotel?
Uh-huh.
Huh.
Well, he was
like
just
twice as much.
He was just doing rides up and down.
Yeah, it must have been driving a lot, because I would think that a hotel, it being nicer than a limo would be worse. Uh-huh.
They said that he would just do all-night drives in the limo.
Oh. Well, then why have the hotel? Anyway.
This isn't someone frugal.
Let's try. I mean, I guess if you're just stealing, but like...
Yeah.
Yeah, not for frugality, but like, why do you need a hotel if you're living in a limo? Also, limo, sure. As far as people living in a car, it's a nice one to live in.
Yeah, and also, just in case is why.
Oh, okay.
You've never rented a hotel room and then went in a limo all night?
No, it's never come up.
Well, me neither, but some people do.
Have you been in a lot of limos?
I've only been in one limo.
Was it prom?
No.
What was it?
It was Vegas.
Oh, fun.
It was for Greek church.
Just only to go to church.
Hannah, limo?
No. Actually, never? Not. Yeah, never? I'm just humble like that.
Wow, that is so humble. I've only been in
Alex?
A bummer again. I've only been in one limo, and it was for a funeral. And so, like, wow. For me, whenever wow. It's like my associations are not like what a fun time. I like see a limo, and I'm like, sorry, guys.
You see a limo, you just start crying.
No, I'm just like, because like somebody's like always like sticking out the top, screaming, holding a beer, and I'm like,
that was this you is at how the funeral.
This is how you're grieving, I guess.
Really? Is that what he deserved? Grandpa deserved more than that.
That's how I feel about it.
I love you, Grandpa.
Can't be.
Yeah, okay. I mean, I was a kid too, and I was like, I don't feel like all these luxurious features are really applicable to what we're doing right now. We could have just gotten like a 15-passenger van. We don't need to show up to this. And also, what a weird time to rent a limo. Yes. Like, why do we have to show up all fancy?
And even if you had used all the features, it would seem inappropriate at the time.
Exactly. Yes, yeah. Absolutely. I did ask the driver to close the window, but it's just to make sure it was clear that we were the customers.
I think he got the message.
This is the dividing line here. Yeah.
We have like some privacy back here, Jeeves.
It's okay.
I didn't like that they kept calling him Jeeves either. That was weird.
Only because like his name really was Jeeves, and so that was like a lifelong.
Yeah, he was like, I'm offended that you guessed that, but also yes.
Exactly.
But it is.
Don't call me that. Just window up. All right. He'd go on Rodeo Drive shopping sprees in which he'd rack up jewelry, luggage, rare coin collections, and other expensive items, yeah. Promising that his father, the prince, would send the stores all the money shortly. Anytime now, that's coming through.
I guess there's some weird race thing involved here in that, because if I just said, like, oh, my dad's a billionaire, they would be like, cool, prove it. Mm-hmm. But he was able to say, I'm a prince, and they were just, sure.
So like, that checks out. You're good.
Part of what, you know, all of this said was he definitely capitalized on Americans' inability to tell the difference between a Colombian and a Saudi.
Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah. So if we just solved racism, all those stores would get their money back.
Exactly.
There's other reasons, but that would also help.
I think that's really first among them. All right. So he did a little jail time, but only a year later he was back in the game. He went from not paying at the Ritz in San Francisco to not paying at the Hale Kalani in Hawaii, got people to write him checks for a non-existent oil field in Saudi Arabia, used an Amex under Khalid bin al-Saud, got a couple to pay him $20,000 for his resort tab, ran up $14,000 at a Disney resort in Orlando, whoa. Left another resort with a $27,000
bill. What did
he do,
buy three meals? Oh. It's very expensive. Disney burn.
Sick Disney. What do you get? One stuffed animal?
A churro?
Yeah. Suck it, Disney. Unless you want to sponsor us. And he left Saks Fifth Avenue. Anytime now, we're going to... We want to leave our doors open, Alex. Apparently, you're a bridge burner, okay? And so they left Saks Fifth Avenue with a $51,000 bill. And then... After all that mess and just a few minor trips to jail, he was finally charged with fraud and grand theft and sentenced to 616 days in jail.
Mm. Nice.
He was completely undeterred by any of that.
Sure.
So to the extent that before his trial had ever even started, he'd already contacted a Miami lawyer claiming to be Khalid bin al-Saud.
Almost 2 years. Sorry. You guys were all working on what 616 day was. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Less than 2 years.
Right. Alex got it.
Yeah. All right, Rain Man.
It was like 10 minutes later that I was still like, is that a lot? I mean, I guess it's a lot.
Very end of the podcast episode. Almost 70.
It's 10 years.
What?
Divided by 3. 5. 2.
Doing the math out loud.
Why is he counting on his fingers?
He's writing on the foam wall.
I said almost, and then you called me Rain Man. It was like, well, you're late and wrong, but...
That's pretty much the standards we have around here.
We're still reading, but Hannah and I were working on it. I got there first.
You're like sweating. She's patting your brow with a towel. All right. Have some Gatorade. Calm down. So he'd contacted a Miami lawyer claiming to be the prince, and then he got the lawyer to convince two bondsmen to post his $46,000 bond. So
he convinced the lawyer that he was the prince and in jail.
Yes.
Oh.
So the second he left jail, because his bond had been posted,
That lawyer, sorry, that is on that lawyer.
Yeah, well,
because like
now the lawyer agrees.
I'm in jail, and I'm in jail, but I'm also a prince, but I don't know how to contact any of my people from the consulate or anything.
Right.
Bad. That
maybe
was...
maybe the lawyer's not. He conned his way into being a lawyer, and yeah. he went to lying camp too.
Bill,
you're my lawyer.
I mean, I feel like at that, I hate blaming victims normally, but this guy, I don't know. Ask a few questions, a few follow up questions. You're not even trying at this point,
mm-hmm. right? I mean, I think he, you know, has admitted that he got roped into the idea that he could be a lawyer for the Saudi royal family.
Yeah, yeah, sure, sure. And that the prince had $2 million US that mm-hmm. he couldn't transfer and he needed your help.
Exactly.
That lawyer has clicked on every spam email, is my point.
I just need your social security.
Yeah.
Yeah. The second he left jail, he dropped by an Amex office and told them the same prince story and that his card had been stolen. They asked him to verify his last two purchases with the card, which was the real prince's card. And he was able to name them because he had two inside guys at Amex. So he gave them each a Rolex as a thank you gift afterward.
Wow.
Whoa.
After being issued his platinum card.
Did they ever find the inside people? Because that.
I hope so.
Like real, this is a real crime.
Well, that's some shit, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Scary. After being issued his platinum card with a $200 million limit.
Jesus Christ.
He immediately went on an insane spending spree, buying expensive jewelry and flying first class and buying out the whole cabin so he wouldn't have to sit next to anyone.
Yeah, that's pretty baller.
Yeah, he was baller, if anything.
I hadn't even thought about buying out other seats so no one would sit by me. That is a cool move.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Oh, I don't think so, buddy. That might be my... It's not. So soon after, I would definitely make them keep those curtains closed.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I did it to the limo driver at a funeral. Of course I would do it on a baller airplane.
Yeah.
You guys, I want privacy on all sides.
Yeah. And if you're doing that, does that actually make you frugal for not taking a private jet?
I have no idea what the comparison... Probably not. Probably that was a stupid expense, and if you'd gotten a private jet, it would have been cheaper. That's my guess. That's all, like that many first-class tickets?
You know what?
Give me give me 10 years, I'll do the math.
The podcast is long over.
It's just dead air until he figures it out.
Alex Falcone.
This is episode 250. We have a special guest. Alex is back with his back-of-the-envelope calculation on this airplane.
From a story you've all long forgotten.
Definitely just buy the first-class tickets. Gotta go.
That's it. It's just a recurring segment. Alex does math. All right. So soon after, though, Amex fraud department called to tell them that he's not a prince and he's committing credit card fraud with a large amount of money.
They told him that?
Because I feel the lawyer.
He already knew. Oh, the lawyer. Okay.
We know you're not. No, this is the prince. Bye.
Bye.
Very polite.
Goodbye. So the lawyer and bondsman caught up with him in New York. But when they tried to get him back to Florida with them, he screamed in LaGuardia, "I'm Prince Khalid bin al-Saud. I've been kidnapped. He has a gun," pointing at one of the bondsmen. Of course, they were instantly surrounded by cops with guns. But after getting the truth out, they were released. But they decided in order to get him back to Florida, they would just rent a truck and drive to avoid any further incidents.
Oh.
They kept him in the trunk, as a matter of fact.
Of a truck?
Of the...
What would that look like?
Good point.
Do you mean the back
maybe
of a truck?
Maybe an SUV or something, maybe.
Sure.
Yeah.
It did say trunk, but then it did say truck.
It's yeah. just like the back end of a car attached to the end of a truck.
maybe the toolbox?
No one will ever notice how weird this looks.
Which trunk is already the combo name for what that would be.
Oh, yeah. A truck and a trunk together would
be a
trunk.
It would be a trunk still.
Yeah, that's true.
He revealed his true identity to them on that trip, giving them his real name, birthplace, etc. He was obviously put right back in jail when they arrived in Miami. But again, this was not an end to his cons, but instead a launch pad.
Yeah, he was hanging out at liar camp.
Exactly.
Some more liars.
He's
this is your networking. New roommate, Prince al-Assad. Oh, weird. That's my name.
What are the chances? So... For time's sake, let's just say he did a bunch more shit, including getting Syracuse University to send him $16,000, almost convinced Johnny Cochran to take his case. He tried to escape his cell by lighting it on fire, et cetera, et cetera. He was released in early 2000s, and he did a bunch more conning and fraud, including scamming individuals, Saks Fifth Avenue again for $12K, and Neiman Marcus for $18K, that time charging the Real Saudi Princess's account.
Whoa.
Nice.
While in jail.
It does sort of seem like maybe the criminal justice system did not rehabilitate him.
Which is confusing, because that's,
that's what they're there for.
One rare fail.
Yeah. One would again. A rare miss.
Sometimes they slip through.
Yeah.
I think we'll learn from that.
Yeah, sure. I'm sure they'll figure something out.
Right. They're doing lots of case studies, I'm sure. So while in jail for that one, he tried to get Citibank to wire him $3.9 million from an actual Princess Trust fund. And then he pled guilty to bank fraud and got 77 months in federal prison. Alex, go. How many years?
3, 2, 1.
Those are too many numbers. I didn't even listen. I tuned out in the middle of that number.
I think we need to stop doing math and work on our listening ears.
I really do. What did I get distracted by that time?
I don't know.
I think I was wondering if my finger is still swelling. I have a broken finger.
Just keep touching it.
I am. That's what makes I was saying. I was like, is it still swollen? Yeah, it's still swollen. Oh, she asked me a question.
Is it still broken? All right. When he got out in 2011, he decided to just ditch the small-time scams and go bigger than ever. So he tried to buy a 27-acre resort in the Florida Keys for $200 million, but the owner knew that he was a fraud and he called the police.
Cool.
After another year in lockup, Zhiniak realized he just keeps really cycling through. High recidivism here.
Yeah.
Another year in lockup, and he realized that he needed something or someone to make him seem more legit so he could get access to the world of the super wealthy. So soon he met Carl Williamson, an asset manager in North Carolina who seemed to know anyone who was anyone. He was British, so even his accent seemed to legitimize him somehow.
Yeah, he sounded smart. I
Robin, what's his name? Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous.
Oh. Yes.
Do that British accent again?
It was an Australian kind of.
It wasn't really much of anything.
Just do it again, okay?
Okay, Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous.
Hosted by Sarah Palin.
Uh-huh. So both were master bullshitters, and with their powers combined, they set about defrauding people out of millions.
Oh, the asset manager was also a crook. Weird twist.
We'll see if he knew he was a crook or not, but he definitely had crook-like proclivities.
Yeah, pro-crookities.
Ooh!
He's not great.
He fit right in here. It's fine. Zhiniak showed Williamson a bank statement that showed a balance of $600 million. So Williamson didn't even bother figuring out a contract or salary before agreeing to work with Zhiniak. Or the Prince Khalid bin al-Saud, that is.
Sure.
He created an investment company for the prince called Martin Williamson International LLC, which launched in July of 2015. Williamson vouched for Zhiniak by saying that he'd known him 20 years and buying diplomatic license plates off the internet for Zhiniak's Ferrari and Rolls Royce.
Whoa, you can do that?
Surprise!
That seems like you shouldn't be able to do that.
Are you doing that right after this?
I don't know. What are you?
Why wait? Do it now.
Next time I'm where the internet works.
Next time where you're like, I wasn't listening. You ordering those plates?
I mean, why is that available?
For the same reason people can get University of the Atlantic Caribbean.
Yes.
Surgeon at Sea.
Sure, Surgeon at Sea.
Surgeon at Sea.
That'd be way harder than surgery on land, so it's impressive.
Good point. Or are they like astronauts where it's not, it's actually on land, but they make you stand on something that emulates the sea.
So like a wave pool? What are you talking about?
A wave pool.
Even though the sea is right there. I don't know. Okay. We need to move on.
It's a boat with a wave pool on the sea.
Exactly. We've gotten off track. I see that now. All right. So Williamson made introductions to important bankers, and a baker in London who specialized in clients with high net worth ended up opening a lot of doors for Zhiniak. 26 investors wired almost $8 million to Martin Williamson International, thinking that they were getting in early on the international public offering of Saudi oil company Aramco, which that deal was an estimated $2 trillion worth. Yeah. So yeah, they were excited. sure, I'll buy into that.
I feel like he's changed. Like, where was this humble kid who, like, set a cell on fire in prison? Like, you've gotten too big for your britches.
So how do you set a cell on fire in a prison?
They should be concrete. That's what I would do.
Is it made out of cardboard?
Yeah. Weird that you're in this barn prison and you can just light your hay on fire.
Michigan. Or Florida, wherever. And then he actually, in that particular instance, had put soap all over the floor so the guards would slip and he could escape.
Okay. Some real Home Alone
shit. Exactly.
And he swings it.
Can't be mad at him anymore. Yeah, there's like a paint bucket attached to the ceiling by a string. That's fine.
Yeah. He's still the same guy you knew.
But I just, this like, yeah, the $1 billion fun. Like, it's fun when you're buying on an airplane or lying to Saks Fifth Avenue, but this is like...
You've changed.
Yeah, you've just moved on to boring white collar crime.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I like a con man who's like on a train with a fedora, like
he's got a piece of wheat.
Yeah. Add the wheat. That would make you look like a farm person who's never been in the city.
Uh-huh.
But I like a you know, one-on-one kind of con man. This fraud.
The thing is, to be fair. Everyone that met him, all the people that were used to dealing with insanely rich people who, you know, were happy to show people they were rich or whatever, they said even for that, he was the most flamboyant one they'd ever seen. Like, just all fingers in the biggest jewels, the Chihuahua, I think named Foxy, I'm pretty sure, in the Louis Vuitton thing. And just like...
How did you leave out the Chihuahua in the purse?
Yeah. Oh, Foxy. Yep. So he was like, you know, definitely trying to still dress to impress.
Yeah. This is not like Catch Me If You Can, Leonardo DiCaprio. This guy's kind of a dick.
And he had an Instagram account where like he would post every new giant, like he'd be like, my new Ferrari, my new boat, my new
what?
Yeah.
Smart.
Con man Instagram is that's
yeah.
That's my favorite Instagram. Instagram
hiding in plain
con
sight.
Man Instagram.
That's what it was, his name on there was con under dash man. So he was able to fool a Dutch investor who was a tax lawyer renowned as a master of mergers and acquisitions. They met several times, and Williamson presented statements showing that the prince had a $2 billion bank balance and a $600 million property investment.
How does the royal family feel about this? Are they aware that...
They have completely separated themselves from it, where they're like, we don't know this guy. We have nothing to do with him. This is definitely not
a royal.
They're
not like, stop letting this guy pretend to be a prince. They're not chasing him.
I mean, I don't want to be too political or topical at the moment, but it seems like they have some other bigger things going on.
I figured out what his Instagram probably would be, is he would be at the real Prince Al-Assad, because he's a con man, so he
official.
Would lie about it. Yeah, and he's good. He'd probably be verified.
Uh-huh. Yeah, definitely a blue check mark.
Yeah.
For sure.
If they arrested him for impersonating the prince, and then he was like, well, okay, but look at Instagram.
I'm verified, bitches.
I'm the real. It says right there.
Nice try. Okay, so needless to say, the Dutch investor happily cooperated with the U.S. Attorney's Office during their investigation. Oh, it just got sexier. All right.
I just remembered that I could control the light. Sorry, people at home for not knowing. It did just get a tiny bit sexier in here.
I should talk like the prince continued to accumulate wealth. And eventually, so he decided to approach billionaire Jeffrey Soffer about buying a big portion of one of his hotels, the Fontainebleau Miami Beach, which had been struggling with debt problems for years. So the prince offered to pay way over the valuation by possibly as much as $140 million. Because, you know, fuck it. If you don't even have the money in the first place.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah. So he told Soffer, however, that like in order to show proper respect, it was traditional in his country to like give lavish gifts to each other during negotiations. So he would give him like a this or that thing, but then like keep dragging the gifts out of the other guy. So after months
that
of...
I kind of like that.
He had to milk the short con. he knew the long con was going to get busted.
Oh, man. Also, I like that this so much of this is like him playing on American racism.
Yeah.
It's kind of fun.
Good for him.
Like, you don't know shit about us.
Yeah.
You don't know about... Or not us, because he's Colombian. You don't know anything about Saudi Arabia. You'll believe anything I say.
Although that's a good point. You don't know how he identifies.
Sure, true. Yeah, true. I don't want to assume.
He identifies as a Saudi, it sounds like.
I don't think that's
how it works. I'm from Colombia, bitch.
I don't think that's how that works.
So, after months of meetings and lavish gifts from Soffer, it became clear that something was off. The last straw was when Gignac was at dinner and ordered prosciutto.
God damn the prosciutto.
Yeah. Soffer.
This is always how you plan for everything as a long con. You work on all the details, but you forget about ham every time.
That's how they get
you. It sneaks up on you. You're like, oh, I forgot to do something about the ham on the menu.
Shit. So Soffer immediately recognized this as something a Muslim prince would never do. And so his team did some digging and discovered information that made them sure the prince wasn't the prince after all. After Gignac went on some business trips to Paris and Hong Kong and London using someone else's passport, he was finally... as one does.
Minor.
He was finally arrested at JFK Airport on November 19th, 2017. During his arrest, he screamed, "I'm a diplomat with diplomatic status." Then that didn't work.
Oh, really?
So he dropped the cuffs. They're like, "You know what? Yeah, you're good.
It's true.
If you could show us the plates on your car, we'll believe you." So, well, I guess he's a diplomat. Let's go home, boys.
I'm afraid I was listening this time, but I was also thinking I should actually start Googling those license plates now. And then I thought, probably it puts you on a list if you Google fake diplomatic license plates.
The two of us are most certainly on some kind of watch list for all the Googling that we have to do for this
for
thing.
Sure. You should definitely be using incognito more often.
Mm-hmm. So if you're listening, FBI, that's what it's for.
I do.
Top priority for them.
I feel like that all the time where I'm searching for something and then I feel like the next thing I should search for, it was for a joke. Just so that they see on the list.
Sentence
for a joke.
Yeah.
So then when that didn't work, he yelled, "I have national security information you would be interested in hearing."
Mm.
Obviously, throw him under the bus. So, of course, the trail also led to Williamson, whom police came to arrest on December 14th, 2017. They interrogated him for 6 hours, searched his home office, and then left. He told his wife, Denise, that he didn't know the prince was a fraud in the first place, that he said, I had no idea.
But Denise wasn't having it.
I don't know, because she asked him. I mean, she wanted to hear that he didn't know, so you probably want to believe that.
Yeah.
It feels like either he was, it's one of those classic, like, either you're lying or you're, like, the dumbest person.
Yeah.
And it's weird that you have to, no. I just didn't bother to check.
He didn't bother with a contract or a salary, so.
Yep.
So that night, he didn't eat dinner. He told his wife he was going to bed early, and then he hung himself.
Oh.
Yeah.
You could have skipped that part. No one at home was like, what happened to that guy? Why did you include that in this?
Allison's a monster.
Jesus.
Sorry.
This show's been up and down. Really.
I'm sorry. Oops. You're a comedian, okay? Do you just keep him up the whole time, or do you got to take him down and then right back up?
You keep him up the whole time. This isn't stand-up tragedy.
No, it is.
This is a different job.
Neil Brennan.
This isn't The Moth.
Hannah, what's her name? Nanette. What's that?
Gadsby.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's...
Well, so she's Australian. It's different.
She takes...
Also, I'm not doing a Netflix hour. I get like 8 minutes. I'm not going to be like in the third and fourth minute. Have you guys thought about suicide? I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to be like...
You should just
every
go
5 seconds.
All sad.
There are starving children right now, and you're not helping them. Anyway, back to the jokes. So my wife. This is not how I operate.
You could just surprise them by going all sad. 100%.
Yeah, that's less of a surprise at like a Portland open mic, but it would be fun.
That's true.
To just be like, and now I'd take a brief message for a sad story. And then you just tell her like a real, maybe not sad, just melancholy. Like, and they never found each other again. But they always pined for the one that got away.
Fine.
Anyway, so have you guys noticed car bumpers are different heights? Like, that would be an example of how that would go.
That's why you're the professional.
I'll work on it. Well, I finish this goddamn math problem. I'll get back to that.
A lot of irons still in the fire here. This guest appearance. All right. So Gignac pled guilty this year, but He actually recently withdrew his guilty plea, opting to go to trial instead.
Of course he did. Is he representing himself?
Oh,
I really hope so.
He has to represent himself.
That's always the best.
Well,
it
passed the bar in Georgia. Obviously, I can. Yeah, that would be great.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah, I hope that's the case, but I don't think so. However, please, I will definitely be posting pictures of this guy, but please look him up because he is, let's see, very round face with a bowl cut and like exactly who you would want to see in like a ton of furs and jewelry holding a chihuahua next to a Ferrari.
Great. Yeah, I love it. I love it. That was such a recent story, too. When you started, I thought this was going to be the 30s, but this just happened.
No, this is like happening now. He's
on trial.
Yeah. All right. So we're going to break for just a second to hear from an awesome podcast called Murderish.
Hey, everyone. I'm Jamie, and I host a podcast called Murderish, which takes you inside stories of murder and other creepy events. The first episode of Murderish lets listeners be a fly on the wall for a first-degree murder trial. The story is told from a juror's perspective, as I was that juror. If you are a true crime junkie and need to know every detail, you'll feel right at home with this podcast. Follow Murderish on Twitter at MurderishPod and on Facebook at MurderishPodcast. And don't worry, this doesn't mean you're a murderer. It just means you're murder-ish.
Please make sure to give them a listen.
All right. So before we get into the idiot segment, I thought it would be fun to talk about some medieval crime and punishment.
Ooh.
So in England in 1314, soccer was outlawed because it was essentially considered war that caused property destruction and even death.
That's why they call it the devil's sport.
If you think about it, though, buildings back then were probably not very soundly constructed.
A soccer ball.
Everything's made out of cardboard. And then people did not have the best of health back then either in the 1300s, I'm assuming.
No.
No, plague and all that stuff. Was that as far back as the 1300s?
You're the doctor, friend.
No, none of those.
You've taken you don't have any doctor friends?
That's what they put on your nursing license.
Doctor's friend.
Oh, I finally graduated doctor's friend school.
That sounds insulting to all the nurses. I apologize. My point is, you're a medical professional, and I am but a humble math genius. And so I don't know if I know as much about when the plague happened.
Alex doesn't qualify, so it's all you out.
He's gen pop.
Yes. So when was the plague?
I don't fucking know, Allison. Obviously. That's what I'm asking the civvy over here. All right.
Okay. In 1241, if you found a dead body, you were classified as the quote unquote first finder. You were expected to turn up to court to tell people about it. And if you didn't, you and the whole village where the body was found got in trouble.
So if you're like, I'm telling, and your sister's like, no, don't tell. And you're like, but I have to.
The whole village goes to jail.
Yeah.
Is it like when you find a new species, you get to name it? It's like the first person who finds the dead body gets to be like, this is George.
I wonder if that's where the term first responder came from.
Maybe.
Huh. You're the medical professional.
All right, final one. In Europe, during a riot, if somebody was killed and the murderer got away in the crowd, authorities were entitled to pick 7 men from the surrounding area and put them through tests to determine their guilt. The test had nothing to do with what you could testify you'd actually been doing at the time.
Let me guess, it wasn't the same test they gave to women for being a witch. They didn't just drown them, I'm assuming.
Nope.
Thanks for that sad reminder.
Bringing him down.
You're like, you know what we haven't been sad about recently is witches.
Everyone, let's just pause for a moment and let it sink in.
Remember all the witches.
Think about how sad that would have been. Cool. Thanks, Anna.
You're welcome.
All right, Alex. You're up.
So these are some good classic Oregon criminals. This is from that Oregon life.
Are you from Portland originally?
No.
No one is really.
No. I have been here 10 years, though, which is like longer than most people.
Yeah. Totes. Oh,
did you? Are you from here originally?
Since I was 12.
Yeah, that counts.
Yeah.
Hannah.
It's been almost 10 years.
Yeah, yeah. All right, so we're OG. So they did some classic Oregon criminals. Two that I want to highlight are a guy robbed a gun store with a knife.
Very cool.
A man carrying a 9-inch knife and a baseball bat entered a gun shop and smashed a display case, attempting to steal an unloaded semi-automatic handgun. The store's manager, shockingly, had a real gun.
What do you know?
And told the man to freeze, and which he did, and they waited there until the cops arrived.
You know what? If you sign up to work in a gun store, it isn't just like, I don't know, they had a post.
He had a knife. We should leave him alone.
Yeah, but I mean, it's the people who work in gun stores are not going to be like, there was an opening, I needed a job. Like, it's going to be somebody who sought out a job in a gun store.
Yeah, for real. They were into it.
Right.
I feel like, though, calling this guy an idiot is a little unjustified. Like, he was aware that he didn't have a gun. That was the problem he was trying to solve. So, like, yeah, of course he didn't have a gun when he was robbing these people. That's what he was trying to get, so he could go rob people.
Maybe the idiot was the gun store owner who kept him from getting a gun.
Yeah, that's you're like, right. This is, he's one of your people. He wants a gun.
He's one of you.
The other robbery worth talking about is a woman named Stephanie. I'm going to last name withheld because I'm sure she's having a tough time.
Poor
Steph. She tried to write. She tried to rob a bank using a note, and her handwriting was so bad they couldn't figure out what she said. So what she tried to say was, "I need $300 or I'll kill you. I'm serious." But the teller couldn't figure out what she was saying, like what it was supposed to say. So Stephanie went over to the counter to write a more clear and legible note, during which time the teller called. It was the set off the silent alarm and brought in the police. Martin was arrested at the bank.
That's perfect. I love that.
I tried to withhold her last name and then I said it at the end. That was not. New at this. Stephanie Martin, I'm sorry. I'm sure you've paid your price to your thing to society. Also, you should practice your handwriting.
Exactly. You're She's at least learned that lesson.
Yeah. Go back to third grade. When we were all writing cursive.
I learned how to... My handwriting was bad until last year. I decided
what
to
did
not
you
have... I practiced. I was like, I should have stopped having bad handwriting. And so I started writing practice.
Allison, he's not a doctor.
Well,
he's
also
a math professional.
Doctors have the worst handwriting. Don't even get me started on that.
Uh-huh.
But
I've
you
heard.
Would know.
I've heard. No, but it's just like, I'm an adult. Why? Everyone was like, well, I have terrible handwriting. It's because you're not... GD trying. Just like grab a piece of paper and practice your A's and then you'll be better at it.
You know, I love the idea of your eyes opening one morning and you're like, today's the day, Alex.
I'm all about self-improvement, you know? I'm like, what can I fix today? Well, personality's not great, but let's start with the alphabet instead. This is a more solvable problem.
Today I become the man I've always wanted to be. Or at least I can legibly write about the man I'd always wanted to be.
I have semi-legible handwriting now. She could do it. If Stephanie believed in herself, she could just go write a bunch of stuff. Mm-hmm. There's like the lazy brown fox or the brown fox or the lazy dog, something like that. That has all the it has every letter at least once.
Oh, what?
Huh?
There's 15 great sentences that have every letter at least once.
Uh-huh. All right.
So just go write those a bunch of times because then you get all the practice on those letters.
And then you'll nail that bank robbery.
And then next time you go rob a bank.
It'll all work out.
Also, don't write, I'm serious. They're aware that's not a joke. This would be a bad joke.
I'm serious. You
That'll
guys.
Do it.
Do you get full time in jail for trying to rob a bank if you're so bad at it that it's like, I don't know, you're not that scary?
We did a story a couple weeks back about a guy who had finished robbing a series of banks and then was casing another bank and stopped in the middle of the parking lot for a random like news interview about public transportation. I just couldn't get away from the spotlight.
I love it.
Yeah. And so the police on that one actually issued a press release to criminals saying, this is, you're making our job too easy.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Maybe the system isn't broken after all.
Nah. I think those those guys are pretty cool.
Yeah, cops seem fun.
All right. So we all already know that every person listening to this is going to be like, you giant bees, how dare you make us fall in love with Alex Falcone and then take him away from us just moments later.
Oh, this doesn't sound written.
We get it. So here you go, you junkies. You can score some more AF by subscribing to his podcast, Read It and Weep, a podcast about movies with a focus on weird, bad, and blockbusting. Critics have called the Mark Charlesworth Real Estate Team of Keller Williams Portland Central compelling, heartwarming, refreshing. One open house attendee explains, I wasn't even going to see this place, but once I was inside, they had me hooked. I had to stay to find out what happened. A seller raves, it's clear this wasn't their debut. These are seasoned performers. For your front row seat to buying or selling real estate in Oregon or Washington, go to markcharlesworth.com.
That sounded like a real ad.
Thank you. Wyden Kennedy, if you're listening. So far, Disney, the FBI, and Wyden Kennedy are also listening.
I'm just
to
so
this.
Surprised because the other ad was for Murderish, and then this one's for a local realtor.
Mm-hmm.
It's very professional.
Yeah. Who sponsors this podcast?
This is what I'm learning. Right.
So we want to give a gigantic thank you to @AaronLee for becoming our very first Patreon patron.
What's up, Aaron?
Woo woo. We are super grateful to her and for any crimer who would like to follow in her footsteps by tossing us some currency, some clams, some linguine and sauce. So you can go to www.patreon.com/dumbandbusted to rock some D&B merch, maybe a cool tee, maybe a zip-up hoodie for a fourth or fifth date, or maybe a BizCash mug. Visit dumbandbusted.threadless.com. You can find us at Dumb and Busted on Facebook and Twitter, or rate and review us on iTunes. But first and foremost, thank you for listening, crimers. You're the wind beneath our wings.
First and foremost after a list of 12 things.
And finally, first and foremost.
Last and last most. At the very bottom of everything we've just said. Thanks, guys.
That's all for this episode. Crime you later.